but the worst possible curse, one that, once placed, would have to be lifted as soon as possible. If I took money off her for the Guardian's quest, Sea Thistles wouldn't be getting a mercenary, but the leader of the Phoenix Clan. Despite this being one and the same player, in fact, there were two different people in there. Knowing this, how could I share the High Priestess's quest with her? It's just not gonna happen. So, she either joins us for free, or we'll have to do without her. Then it's 52, continued the Shadow Leader of the Phoenix Clan without any change in tone, as if he'd counted on this from the outset. We are offering you 20 million gold for everyone. That boils down to less than 400,000 per head, I said after some quick number crunching. That's a laughable amount. The scenario has no time limit. Therefore, I can wait a couple of years, gain some levels, and complete it myself, just with my clan. That'd be more profitable. So tell us your conditions. Just stop going on about 1.5 million. You give the impression of someone with more sense than that. All right. I realized that getting that much money wouldn't be realistic. I was dragging out the conversation until I saw with some relief that Leidy looked up at me and signaled that he was done with the agreement. Finally. We had discussed almost all possible options earlier, so now it only remained to turn our decisions into a well-worded text, the task that Leidy had taken upon himself. And there was me, potentially getting it all muddled up with the bit about Anastaria joining us for free. "Mayan, are you still here?" Eckler gave a polite cough, returning me to the negotiations. "Sorry." I quickly scanned through the text, taking note of all the main points. "Let's talk everything over in a proper business-like fashion. 500,000 gold per head is too little for what essentially amounts to 18 levels. I believe that the most reasonable price would be 1 million gold each. There's little sense in going any lower. Any gold looted during this assignment will be split equally amongst everyone in the group. In this quest, my clan will be carried, and there's just 8 of us, so you won't even notice our presence. We'll divide all the loot through an imitator. It will do better than any of us. But I will retain the right to claim any 8 items that drop, irrespective of the norms of sharing loot, including rolls of the die and class suitability. Any quests acquired by any member of the group while completing this scenario will be shared with all other members of the group. Each player will have to make a decision concerning the amount of time they are present in the game during this scenario. However, I take no responsibility if you happen to be logged out during a key event or during the completion of the scenario. In this case, I ask that no claims are made against the Sea Thistles clan. This point will definitely be included in the agreement. There is another point of considerable importance to me. There should be no members of the Dark Legion clan in on this quest. I have nothing against them, except for the fact that they're obliged to send me for respawn on site. I think that's it for now.
No, it's not, came Hellfire's voice. Who's going to run the raid? Who will be the leader and who will be calling the shots?
I will be the one making the decisions after first consulting Anastaria. She will be the one leading the raid. No one else would do it better. I glanced at the girl, who immediately composed herself. Whatever happened to that playful fire that was dancing in her eyes a few minutes ago? I was now looking at the real Anastaria, focused, capable of making split-second decisions, even with limited information, clever, and incredibly beautiful. Right, that last point has nothing to do with anything.
"Anastaria, can you hear us?" Eckler asked the girl.
"I'm here, and agree on all the points except the one on making decisions.
Undigit, are you planning to bring Do Not Punic with you?
Yes. The voice of the Azure Dragon's leader, which I recognized from the time of the Beatwick battle, came from the amulet.
In that case, I propose that, aside from me, you should also add him as an advisor. Is my recommendation sufficient for this?
Anastaria asked me. Sure. Leidy, add him to the agreement. I passed this on to my bureaucrat. I'm prepared to share out the quest under the terms we've discussed. I'll hand the agreement over to Anastaria, and she'll send it to Eckler and everyone else for examination. Now, we just have to settle the price and write in the full list of the participants. I sent the amended agreement to Anastaria. It now contained just a few blank sections. The price, names of those taking part, and the destination coordinates.
I see, Eckler responded thoughtfully. We'll need a couple more minutes to talk over your words and come to a decision. I'll call you back.
The amulet fell silent, and, exhausted, I slumped to the ground. If sweating were possible in Barleona, I would have been sweating buckets from all the tension. I'd never had to conduct negotiations at such a level before, so completing my very first attempt with this enormous profit would be quite a feat. And I think I managed to pull it off, so I could only hope that 1,000,000 gold was a reasonable price for the respective clan heads and the like.
Mayan, are you sure about 1,000,000?
Klutzer crouched next to me, staring into the distance.
I remember us agreeing that 600,000 was a good price, especially if we'll have that many people on board. And what if they don't go for it? What then? Agreeing to a discount a second time is lame. They'll start taking us for fools. And what's the deal with Anastaria doing this for free?
Klutzer, go chop some trees.
I'd barely had time to reply to this very reasonable remark from my fighter when Anastaria appeared next to us.
I need to talk to Mayan, please,
added the girl when Klutzer didn't flinch.
You might have failed to notice, but I'm also talking to him right now.
You'll have time enough to chat later.
The same goes for you. If someone butts in on your conversation with Hellfire, just how far will you send him flying?
Anastaria stood there for a couple of moments, trying to stare Klutzer down, and then turned to her fighters and shouted,
Rick, what's with all this idling about? Did you forget what we've come here for? Let's get back to the herbs so that the sea thistles can get their chit-chat over and done with.
I think you're letting this lady have her way a little too much.
Klutzer turned back to me as soon as Anastaria left us.
The times of going it alone are gone. Now you're the leader of a clan for which you are responsible. You're also starting to let the wrong part of your body do the thinking. Forget about the gold we might be losing on account of Anastaria. If all goes well, we'll make it back from the higher price you've demanded. But I am asking you not to act so rashly next time.
But we do need her. All of us did decide, after all, that we'd take her along for the High Priestess's quest, I pointed out in my defense. We won't be able to get past the vampires without her. And if she ends up paying to take part, we won't just get her, but the entire Phoenix clan. Is that what we really want?
That's why I kept quiet when you came out with all that nonsense to Akula. The sooner you understand that you're not on your own, and that the clan is there to back you up, the better. Right, I should get going, or she'll incinerate me with her eyes. Just remember, you're a clan leader, and not some lone 67-level player. If you roll over now, you'll be rolling over for the rest of the game.
I can see you've got some fierce fighters there. Quite hair-raising.
Anastaria sat next to me as soon as Clutter was gone, and, unlike him, used a scroll of impenetrability, concealing us from the rest of the world. No one could hear or even see us. Our senses were in no way impeded as we continued to watch the others at work. A convenient thing for those who want to hide, the only drawback being that it couldn't be moved once activated.
Mehen, are you under a dome?
A message from Elenium immediately appeared in the clan channel. Yep, Anastaria put it up, I replied to the guys to stop them worrying. She's being terribly mysterious.
Remember our chat, came a message from Clutter. And why didn't we talk like this before? It's very convenient when others are far away.
Leaving Elenium to explain to the others why clan chat is accessible to clan members only, I return to Anastaria.
They're worried, eh?
Asked the girl with a smile.
Afraid that I'll eat their leader?
No, rather they asked me not to do anything bad to you, I parried. After all, this is none other than Anastaria we're talking about here. I could end up doing something stupid and then spend all of 5 minutes regretting it.
Was it so obvious that I was using the chat? Yep.
Damn.
I caught that stupid word off you. Were those your first negotiations of this caliber?
There's also this other word, yur.
Good for you. You handled yourself well. I remember when I was taken to a similar meeting for the first time. Killer was negotiating the purchase of a key to another world, same as that eye of yours. That was so long ago, almost 10 years now. I was just a foolish little girl who had just joined Phoenix. I was watching wide-eyed how serious grown men were haggling over the purchase of an artifact worth 3 million. I just didn't get it. How can you hand over so much money for a bunch of numbers in a database? At the time, I had just started university and had a generous monthly allowance of 1,000 gold, if you converted it to Barleona currency, which allowed me to survive in relative comfort. And you can stop sniggering. That money gave us an entire month of truly magnificent dinners of ramen and corned beef. Someone who's never been a student wouldn't understand. For example, are you familiar with the special skill of persuading a teabag to produce something resembling tea at third brewing? I am. The funniest thing was that everyone brought their kids to the dorms in limos or expensive convertibles. Yet the taste of a piece of bread toasted under a gas grill, washed down with a freshly opened carton of milk, will stay with me forever. It was then that I understood that it's not the money or the status of your parents that makes you who you are. You're the only one responsible for how people really see you.
Why are you telling me all this? I asked the suddenly nostalgic girl.
Because you also managed to level up your reputation with me, and that's just it. So you know. All right, enough memories for today. Tell me instead whether you managed to solve the riddle.
Riddle? What riddle? Ah, the one with the 3 formulas? It was pretty easy. I lacked Anastaria's skill of switching conversation topic at the drop of a hat, so felt a little lost at first. Perhaps I should get her to give me a master class in this. She sure could teach me a thing or two.
You don't say. My troopers spent ages wrestling with it. We had to do a good deal of digging before we came up with a possible answer. It's beautifully put together, wouldn't you say? How did you stumble upon the solution? I'll never believe that you simply solved everything in 5 minutes.
I had the swearing filters on. Then a certain player swore in front of me and the system corrected him in a helpful way. Before that, I also spent a long time grappling with it. You might even say it began to haunt me in my dreams. But eventually something clicked, and I realized what had to be done. I need your help now, though. I'm sending you a line of text. I sent Anastaria the cipher I got from the dwarves. There's no key or any information on what type of cipher is used, so I'll never solve it by myself. Could you run it past your deciphering team?
Of course. I'll send it to my guys. They'll pick this line apart into all its constituent elements.
So you trust me so much now that you're not even demanding an agreement? I have to trust someone in this game, so why not you?
And yet the Carmandant chess pieces are still a no-go zone?
The girl's question caught me completely flat-footed, so I had to close my eyes and silently count to 10 as I tried to keep my emotions in check. All I wanted to do right now was grab Anastaria by the shoulders and shake all the baloney out of her. How long can she badger me with these chess figurines? I opened my eyes, looked at the grinning girl, and counted to 10 once again, but slower and more thoughtfully this time. No, things can't carry on like this. The matter of the chess pieces has to be settled once and for all, or I'll spend the rest of my life looking over my shoulder to see if Anastaria was there, waiting to make her move.
You're a strange one, Stacy.
Sometimes I get the feeling that you're not even human, just some soulless machine bent on pursuing its aim, oblivious to anyone or anything else. The girl was silent, so I couldn't think of anything better to do than to take out all the orc warriors and put them in her lap. If these things can make you risk your character by misusing the siren's poison, and you can't help constantly bringing them up and teasing me about them, then clearly your life isn't complete without them.
They're yours.
Your peace of mind is worth more to me than a collection of algorithms. Take them, and do what you like with them. That's it. The die had been cast. As one of the ancients said, there's nowhere left to retreat. The bridges are burnt. As soon as I spoke the phrase, "They're yours," the owner of the figurines changed, and I no longer had any claim over them, except authorship. Now, even if I came to my senses and decided to take the orcs back, my fingers would go right through them. To be honest, I was playing it far from straight with her by giving her only the orc warriors, staying stubbornly silent about the dwarves. She could think that's because I did it in the heat of the moment. I made my move. Now it was Anastaria's turn. All our future relations depended on what would happen next.
"One of the Ark warriors from the Carmandant chess set," said Anastaria thoughtfully, turning the figurine around in her hands. "You have no idea what I would have been prepared to do to get my hands on them, and here you just gave them to me without any conditions at all. Not so long ago, I wouldn't have given a second thought to immediately throwing them in my bag. But now, I had to know for sure that the chess pieces did in fact exist, that it wasn't some error in the game code which spread this announcement throughout Malabar. Here." Anastaria handed the figurines over to me. "They're yours. No one in this game, apart from you, has any claim over them. There's a reason I was remembering my student days. As corny as it may sound, you've made me respect you, and not just the results of your crafting. Whatever you may think of me, for me a relationship of trust is more important than gold, or the Carmandant chess pieces. You can buy everything except that. Thank you."
The girl leant over to me and did something completely unexpected. She kissed me. Intensely, passionately, unforgettably.
There were no words.
All that I ask of you is that no one else finds out about this kiss.
When Stacy drew back, my head was still floating in the clouds amid beautiful dreams. I have no idea how, but an ordinary kiss gave me so much pleasure that, compared to it, any visits to the dating house seemed to pale into insignificance.
Judging by your expression, you're not exactly immune to the magic of delight after all.
Anastaria's laughter sounded inside the dome.
I'm sorry. I just had to check. Now I just need to find out why my poison had no effect on you. How do you know about it, by the way?
Like a giant cold shower, these words shook me out of the pink clouds and sent me crashing back down to earth. She really is such a woman. Woe the bugs, take her! I think we've had enough revelations for today. I tried to regain composure, which, despite Anastaria's last phrase, was an uphill struggle. The pink clouds were refusing to let me go, and my face still sported a stupidly happy smile that I just couldn't shake off.
Will you tell me what the other two quests you have are?
Will you tell me what you're prepared to give me for them?
Without even looking at their descriptions first, the correct answer would be nothing.
All right, let's take a different approach. Do you know who the patriarch of the vampires is? The girl's silence, as well as her wide-eyed surprise, were a clear enough answer to my question. She knew who that was, all right.
Man, this is Eckler.
The call of the amulet interrupted my intimate meeting with Stacy, allowing her to regain composure and start trying to figure out whether I was bluffing or not.
We've discussed and accepted the agreement that you've sent. We'll pay the price of 1 million per participant, and we'll be sending you the list of players in a moment. Please confirm that the location coordinates will appear in the agreement as soon as it is signed and the money arrives in your account.
Confirmed. But it shouldn't be my account, rather the account of the Sea Thistles clan. Thank you for reaching a decision so quickly. I thanked Eckler.
I have another question. Do you want to start the quest today or tomorrow morning?
We will settle the formalities today and start the assignment tomorrow, the Phoenix representative assured me. Anyone who wishes can join you today, but we'll set out tomorrow morning.
You know, the more time I spend with you, the more I think that you're a spy for the corporation,
said the girl, now quite recovered, the moment Eckler disconnected.
There are just too many coincidences for a simple prisoner, don't you think?
No, I can call the Emperor as a witness, although I have no idea how he would be able to check. I have nothing to do with the corporation. I did work for it once, before the mines, but only odd jobs here and there.
You do know that the Patriarch is as legendary a figure as the dragons, or that no one has seen him in the entire 15 years of the game? But it looks like you're already acquainted with him and all.
I'm afraid not. I have a quest that involves finding him and having a chat about what's going on in the Dark Forest. Can you see the connection with the scenario that I've shared with the top players? The other quest is focused on the prince and has nothing to do with this place. So, have you decided if you're with me?
In search for the Patriarch? Like you need to ask.
Then let's make things clear straight away. You'll be joining us as a mercenary alongside my clan, and not as the head of Phoenix. I don't need any extra hangers-on this quest.
Mayan, what's taking so long? How many times have you scored already?
One more joke like that and I'll dock you 5% of the loot. The agreement is being signed. The $53 million will soon arrive in our account.
It's a deal, said Stacy, staring with some puzzlement at my clan, who had started to run around the glade in sheer joy.
Even Barcina, who was usually still somewhat reserved, was unable to restrain herself and was embracing Klutzer. I just hope that wouldn't be interpreted as violation of her non-flirtation rule.
You told them that the agreement's been signed?
Look at them, happy as kids at Christmas.
What's your loot allocation amongst the clan?
The same as the one I'll be offering you. 70% of all the money gained goes into the clan treasury, 30% on salaries, depending on the level of participation. Loot is allocated by an imitator. If you're happy with these conditions, with the fact that you'd be a mercenary and not the head of Phoenix, and with not sharing the quest with anyone else, I would be happy to discuss your joining us.
Reasonable clan demands. I'm ready to sign an agreement. Who else do you plan to invite, other than your clan?
Ants in the Pantsa. We'll fail without her.
You don't like her very much, do you? Why tell one girl that another is indispensable? I'll eat her alive and not bat an eyelid. As if I'd let her hang around my shaman when there's not enough of him for me as it is. All right, I'll deal with her later. Where's the agreement?
When did I become your shaman?
Quit nitpicking. Send the agreement.
What's the point? It's not like there are any heralds around to validate it.
Why do you need the heralds? They uphold the law only in Malabar. In Cartus, that's done by magisters, and in the Freelands, by guardians. What? Didn't you know?
To be honest, I'm not exactly an expert on these things. But that isn't important. The chess pieces have shown that you wish to lay claim to the title of Madam Who Can Be Trusted. Catch the agreement. Its main feature is the loot allocation. It has no other restrictions.
That madam will earn you a slap in the face. While we're on the subject, it's miss to you, while standing to attention. And say it like you mean it, please. Let's dispense with agreements altogether. See who's who in all of this.
Here it is, then. I shared the High Priestess's quest with Anastaria. I think people will start arriving in about 20 minutes, so let's wrap things up. They'll get here, and what will they see? A huge opaque dome concealing a man and a woman? That leaves too much to the imagination. Instead of an answer, Anastaria was silent for a few seconds while looking directly into my eyes and then whispering,
"I'm being such a fool."
She planted her lips on mine once again. And for the record, she got no protest out of me. Whatever this delight was doing, it was working 100%. It felt like gaining 5 or 6 levels in your main profession in one go, with endurance turned off. I'll have to get to the bottom of what this magic was, and what one was meant to do with it.
Clan achievement gained. Clan of the Oligarchs. Conditions for procurement? Conduct transactions worth over 40 million gold with the clan treasury within 2 game hours. 5% discount with NPC merchants for all clan members. Now all your trade negotiations with NPCs will end in the words, "Of course, with a clan like that."
Ooh, adamantium. Just a minute after Anastaria took down the dome, players began to arrive at the glade. Everyone had the same sequence of reactions. Surprise, greedy stares, the growing realization that, unlike the bunch of noobs standing nearby, they had the relevant professions sufficiently leveled up for gathering the high-level resources, and, finally, a befuddled expression after walking up to a vein or tree or herb and discovering that the pick hit the ground, the axe went straight through the tree, and that working out the mathematical equation for finding the right point to cut
was the only thing they were able to do with the herb. You could only gather something in the Guardian's Glade if you had the relevant permission, which I had no intention of handing out for free. Of the 10 early arrivals, only 4 agreed to hand over 30% of the resources they gathered to my clan. The rest refused.
"Judging by your pleased expression,"
Dookie came up to me once players had stopped appearing,
"Anastaria had good reason to put up that dome. It's too bad that it doesn't really grow dark in this forest, or we could have used you as a giant torch. You're positively glowing. I do, of course, understand that 2 million each is a good addition to our retirement fund, but even this can't make a guy look that pleased. Are you gonna spill the beans?"
"What the hell?" As I was trying to think of a sharp comeback for my second rogue, a surprised shout echoed through the glade. I didn't immediately realize where the sound had come from, but when I did, we were a player down. One of those who refused to benefit the Sea Thistle's clan with his labor had decided to go sightseeing and had stepped out into the mists of the surrounding forest. Judging by the map of this area, the Dark Forest was a location for 100-level players, so supposedly high-level players had nothing to fear around here. Yeah, right. It was hard to imagine what forces were lurking in the surrounding twilight if someone with level 288 went down in close to 10 seconds.
"You have chosen to oppose me."
The forest once again shook with reverberations, but this time an hour-long fear debuff was slapped on us, which reduced all stats by 5%. Looks like that lieutenant had finally dropped in for a chat. I don't remember the sergeant having such abilities. It was a completely different voice, too.
"I will destroy you."
"Mayan."
Anastaria took a break from the herbs and stared at me, just as all the other players that had arrived in the glade were doing.
"Is there something you want to tell us?"
Realizing that keeping things to myself was no longer an option, I recounted everything about the cursed woad, its warning about the vampires, and its assurance that in this zone neither I nor any of my group had anything to fear. Speaking of the group, I immediately sent an invite to each new arrival, even the gatherers, mentally thanking the fallen for not flooding the glade with arrows just yet. The local NPC minions probably didn't think that I could be so imprudent, I think that's the word. If only I had thought about the group straight away, Anastaria would have been able to get the player out on pure reflex, simply by seeing his frame. She would have thrown a bubble over him, or would have cast something on him. Altogether too many wouldas here. In the end, we have what we have, so all the shoulda, woulda, couldas are a bit pointless.
"So, it looks like the area is being patrolled by a squad of vampires of indeterminate level, headed by some sort of lieutenant, who are quite capable of taking down an unprepared 288-level mage in 13 seconds.
Anastaria mumbled thoughtfully.
"I might have been able to get him out, of course, but the speed at which he was killed was something else. Now we must wait for the rest of the group, especially the tanks and a couple of healers. We can't enter the Dark Forest without them. Let's see what they'll do with hell around."
"Guys," I addressed my free fighters as soon as all the other high-level players returned to resource gathering, "I have a question. Can you take a holiday for about 3 weeks from tomorrow morning? From the financial point of view, you've already got your salary covered for the next 3 years, if not more, so you can afford to take some time off. It would be a pity if the top players complete the quest, but you don't."
"Well, aside from the fact that we haven't been paid our salary yet,
since the imitator will only transfer it in a couple of weeks, said Elenium, the idea of a holiday is a good one. I'll let you know tomorrow. Right. I'm turning on follow. Time for me to get some rest.
When are we planning to set out?
Asked Barcina, as soon as all the other free players in my clan left the game.
Time is not an issue for me, so I can simply stay from now on. You said something about a tent before. Got space in there?
I have 5 with me, so if purely male company isn't a problem for you, you're very welcome to join us.
Good. That can be a test of whether you guys can be trusted, said the girl.
Before disappearing into the tent, she turned and blew me away with a question.
So, what's with you and Anastaria, then?
The next morning began with a commotion that even the tent couldn't keep out. The noise of the rest of the arriving players.
Man, up you get! It's time to form the groups!
You'd never tell from Anastaria's cheerful and alert voice that she spent the entire night communing with high-grade herbs. Who would have thought that the second-highest player on the continent, totally unfettered by concerns for her dignity, would be crawling around on her knees and measuring the length of a stalk with a ruler? Everyone who turned up last night watched this spectacle, and, judging by a few camera icons, some of them even filmed it. "Did you ever actually leave the game?" I mumbled as I crawled out into the fresh air. The resources were still there, but no one took any notice of them anymore. Everyone was focused on one thing only, the upcoming battle. The player who was sent for respawn was already back with us, indicating that the usual 12-hour absence is a limitation that only affected newbies. If you leveled up your reputation with the Empire to Exalted and added to that around 1 million gold on top, the time you had to spend outside the game after dying was reduced to 6 hours. In Barleona, everything becomes a question of money, and in almost all cases, it's 1 million gold. Do you want a flying pet? 1 million gold, please. You want to have the respawn time? Just pay 1 million. Do you want to take part in a scenario? Please be so kind as to hand over a lump sum to keep those sea thistles happy.
Hell, take your team and very carefully try stepping outside the glade.
As soon as I had invited the rest of the thronging crowd into the group and shared the quest, Anastaria started to put things in order.
You know the situation, so put the defense up right away. There's some very unpleasant rabble loitering out there. Don, what would be the best place to try to lure them out, in your opinion?
Let's say 3 o'clock. The sun is on the right, and vampires can't look at it directly, which means they'll get a 10% mischance, said Do Not Panic, who turned out to be a level 303 Death Knight, clad all in black. His two-handed sword was surrounded by a cold blue aura, probably part of the visual design of this class. From what I could see, he was just another fighter, like Hellfire. But if Anastaria had no qualms about asking his advice, and why hadn't I heard anything about him before?
It's best to set out in 10 strong recon units. 2 tanks, 3 healers, and 5 fighters. Range 6, and put it up right away. The Black Arrows, if I remember correctly, do AoE damage in melee. The first 10 are yours. I'll be on the right and Tamsalat on the left. 20 should be the backup with scrolls, the standard alpha support.
I disagree, Anastaria interrupted him. Alpha is good in open ground. We have trees here, which won't allow the mages to deploy their skills fully, and things will be more difficult for healers, too. Let's modify Delta. Look.
This was followed by an untranslatable volley of words between Anastaria and Do Not Panic.
The interesting part was that they appeared to be using normal language, just in a completely incomprehensible way. It was all alphas or modified deltas. The high-level players immersed themselves in their favorite activity, preparing for a raid with tough mobs.
"Maybe we could just get other people here and flood the whole forest?"
Barcina couldn't help adding her 2 cents, which provoked smiles from the raiders, while Anastaria turned to her and explained, as if to an inexperienced schoolgirl,
"My dear, if you start running as a healer, how long will the steel skin buff stay on you?"
"That's nonsense," said Barcina, perplexed. "How can you even cast steel if you're in healer form, let alone run around? Do you even know how to play druids?"
"You see, you've just answered your own question."
Anastaria once again smiled at the reddening girl before returning to the laughing raiders to continue discussing the plan.
"Right. Something tells me that it's time for me to intervene, or my clan will be pushed so far to the edge that getting back into the heart of things would take me the rest of my prison term."
"What have you decided?" I came up to the group of raid leaders who were just finishing their meeting.
"Listen, small fry," Itamzalat looked at me condescendingly. "Go and chop some wood or something, eh? You yourself said that your clan is going to be carried on this quest. The stuff is completely out of your league."
"Let's pretend I didn't hear any of that, and I'll ask you once again, what have you decided?"
Although I was fuming on the inside, I tried to retain the appearance of calm. "Small fry. On the one hand, fair enough. But on the other, the grown-ups had just tried to show me my proper place. In their dreams, either I'm the head of the clan and of this expedition, or I might as well give up on leadership right now and throw myself into crafting. These sharks would swallow me in one gulp."
"And by the way, Itamzalat, I don't remember your name among my advisors. Anastaria and Do Not Punic do happen to be included in the agreement, which was signed by all, yourself included. The agreement very clearly lays out everyone's roles in this scenario. So maybe you should be the one who should be doing the wood chopping while I'm making decisions."
"The fact that you found this scenario doesn't make you..."
"Enough," Anastaria intervened. Now here was someone who was an indisputable authority among other players. Itamzalat immediately fell silent.
"Itamzalat is right, Mayan. I'm sorry, but you don't have experience of leading raids. Now is not the time to quibble over who has higher stats and thicker armor. We have to get on with things now, and you're getting in the way."
"That won't work. With all due respect, the events in Beatwick showed very well the extent of your experience. You have 10, 20, perhaps even 30 clan raiders, each of them tried and tested in more than one dungeon. And that's all. As soon as raiders from other clans turn up, you'll be a stumbling mess. People, either we start working together properly from the outset, or I'm returning your money, canceling the agreement, and you can hang out in the Dark Forest on your own, dancing around the Guardian in the hope that he'll give you the quest."
"We've decided to leave the glade on the west side in 3 10-strong groups, said Anastaria, after giving it some thought. "Who or what awaits us out there remains unknown. The 3 rogues sent out on stealth reconnaissance were discovered and attacked. We barely managed to get them back in one piece. We'll have to scout with a fighting party, so we modified one very well-known formation where the tanks take the 1st and 5th place, shielding 5 players each. The distance between the players?
Under Atamzalat's reproachful stare, Stacy began to explain the tactics of the planned battle. Suddenly, a certain feeling, which hadn't popped up for quite a while, started to flash within me like a red light. "Well, hello there, you incomprehensible beastie. Stacy, we can't go west." I closed my eyes for a moment and tried to interrupt the girl's logical exposition. "We'll get shafted. We have to go east and head towards the center of the forest from there."
"Explain."
Dunat Ponik spoke in place of the still silent girl. "Do you remember the bubble on Hellfire in Beatwick?" I continued to look at Stacy, ignoring the Azure Dragon's raid leader. "It's the same situation." "Mayan, you do understand that based on all logical accounts, Dunat Ponik is right?" the girl finally uttered. An announcement popped up before my eyes, informing me that I'd got a letter from Ekeler. Strange. "I completely understand," I replied. "Give me a couple of seconds, please." Realizing how it must look, I opened the mailbox and read the letter. Why couldn't Ekeler just say something, especially when he's standing only a couple of paces away and is listening to the whole conversation? "Man, stay quiet about this. Anastaria asked me to send you a letter to say that if you're sure that standard logic shouldn't be followed in the Dark Forest, you'll have to prove it to the rest of the players. Respawn hasn't really hindered anyone in the past, and the loss of 30% of experience is a fair price for a mistake. Accept what they've decided. Anastaria will try to stay alive." Well, well. I have a long way to go to reach the stature of these veteran players. After taking a split-second decision to wipe out 30, or at least 29 players, including 9 members of her own clan, Stacy had secretly written a note on the inter-clan chat asking Ekeler to pass on this message to me. This girl sure knows how to play hardball. I have no idea how she'd had time to do all this. "All right, guys, let's do it your way. But I will say it once again. We cannot get anywhere except by the eastern route. But I guess you can't argue against logic, eh?" I decided to follow Anastaria's advice. "Go for it. Let's see how far you get." After that, I turned around and went back to my clan. Judging by my fighters' expressions, they realized full well what had just happened. I'd been pushed to the side, utterly and completely. What kind of a leader am I if I give up so easily under pressure from high-level players? My only remaining hope was that my intuition wouldn't let me down. I think I'm beginning to place too much trust in it. What if I've missed the mark this time? "The first group is ready." The entire glade turned into an anthill. Here and there, flashes of buffs being cast lit up and immediately faded. Players were diligently drinking elixirs and eating stat-boosting food. Normal raid preparation was in progress. Even Ants in the Pansa was dragged into the support group. Only the Sea Thistle's clan was standing idle, watching what was happening from the sidelines, not knowing how to make themselves useful. Reluctant to show any emotions, I opened my mailbox and began to learn all the jewelcraft recipes that I'd been sent at Anastaria's behest. Iron Ring of Strength, Silver Neck Chain of Balance, Gold Ring of Intellect, 9 recipes that were a perfect match for my level and resources. After learning all the scrolls and sending all the alchemy materials to Leidy and the profession scrolls to my other fighters, I sat myself down on the grass. I didn't feel like doing anything with jewelcraft, so whether I liked it or not, I would have to witness this high-level player fiasco. I don't know about the rest, but personally, I had 0 doubts about the outcome of the coming battle. 0-1 to the Dark Ones.
Are you sure that east is clear?
Plinto came up to me. Like us, he wasn't included in the 10 strong fighting groups. It's not clear, but there we have a chance to break through. I had no idea why I answered the way I did.
Break through? From where?
Plinto's surprise was a clear indication that I just said something stupid. And really, why would we need to break out of here? We could just make a portal and we'd be golden. Or we could get on our flying mounts and fly to any point of the Dark Forest. Not a bad idea, that, by the way.
Ready to roll. 1 minute countdown.
At this point, I discovered that there was an inter-raid chat on top of the inter-clan chat, too. This I had no idea about, since during the raids in which I took part as a hunter, we communicated by normal speech.
Center, move forward, Hellfire announced, using his normal voice, and the Phoenix raid group stepped out into the Dark Forest mists.
The wings are off!
The tanks of the Heirs of the Titans and Azure Dragons announced their departure.
The support is ready.
Echiller and 20 more players came up to the edge of the glade, scrolls at the ready.
I think I'll go and have a look at what's happening on the east side, said Plinto,
who stealthed and hurried in the opposite direction to the main group of players. The battle for cleansing the Dark Forest from the taint had begun.
The center is clear.
A whole minute had gone by from the moment the raiders moved out into the Dark Forest, but the mobs were in no hurry to bestow extra experience on the players. No one was attacking or running around or even moving. It was as if this wasn't the same forest from which just 10 minutes ago the scouting rogues had to be rescued.
Center, keep moving.
Hellfire gave the command to Phoenix to follow in his steps as he had departed from the glade by more than 100 meters.
Wings, spread out. There are no mobs here.
A couple more minutes of tense waiting yielded nothing. The forest was dead. All 30 players had walked 100 meters away from the center, trying to provoke the mobs into attacking.
Something tells me, said Echiller, rolling up a scroll and putting it back into his bag, that Mayen was wrong, and we have nothing to be afraid of. Anastaria, he shouted into the forest, any idea what's going on?
No, came the girl's shout. Try to come out in twos or threes. Keep those scrolls at the ready. Maybe they'll attack smaller groups. Rick, drop the herb gathering and come out as well. We have to maximize the search area.
The 3 10-strong raid groups went out even further. The wings began to circle, searching for the vampires, and the remaining players, splitting into groups of 2 or 3, started to leave the Guardian's glade.
Man,
Ants in the Panza came up to me. Aside from myself, she was now the only one who hadn't stepped out of the glade. Even the guys from my clan had gone out in search of the mobs, supposing that low-level players, as easy prey, would lure them out.
We mustn't go there.
I know, but I failed to convince the others.
It will happen right now.
The girl suddenly went pale. I began to get that sinking feeling, too, and it became clear that in the next few seconds there would be a big boom.
Stacy! Bubble!
I screamed at the top of my voice into the twilight of the surrounding wood.
Everyone! Back! Back to the glade! Move it!
Almost simultaneously, an internal raid announcement came from Plinto, whose frame had rapidly begun to melt away. Someone was giving him a kicking, and a pretty hard one at that.
Ash! 4 seconds! Glade plus 400!
For me, Plinto's message was total gibberish. but I saw the reaction of Eckler, who was standing about 20 meters away from the Guardian zone. At first, he'd looked surprised when I shouted about the bubble, but his eyebrows flew up when he read Plinto's message. Then he bolted for the glade like mad, then, finally, disappeared. In fact, everything disappeared. Trees, branches, twilight, players. Aside from Mist and about 50 see-through figures that were once high-level players, the enormous circle with a 400-meter radius contained nothing at all. There ended up being two neat-looking glades. One was a perfect circle, the glade, and the second was a slightly cut-back circle, which touched the Guardian zone, but was unable to subdue it. The scene was completed with two stunned shamans whose gut instincts prevented them from stepping out into the mist. Although, wait, Anastaria! Surrounded by a bubble, though now strangely darkened, the girl was frozen about 20 meters away from us.
"You are too weak to withstand me,"
another resonating voice spread throughout the glade, and I realized that every voice we'd heard before was just a weak parody of something truly terrifying. Our entire bodies began to shake. You got the feeling that your teeth were about to jump out and head off into the forest just to stop experiencing the full charm of this voice.
"I am disappointed. Is Malabar truly that weak? My fighters will deal with you now."
Perhaps there were other words, but at that moment the surrounding world began to swim, and I slipped out of consciousness.
"Wake up already."
Through the comforting and very quiet haze, I could hear the demanding voice of Ants in the Pansa, so I tried to concentrate and open my eyes. I only managed on the third attempt, but the darkness didn't go anywhere. Pictograms of buffs and debuffs appeared in front of me instead of the Guardian's glade. A message flashed past me that my endurance increased to 138 and quickly vanished, reluctant to lift my spirits with any extra light. One of the debuffs, blindness, wouldn't be gone for another 10 minutes, so the system diligently ensured that I remained incapacitated until then.
"I dispelled what I could from you, but most of it is beyond me. You'll have to manage on your own. Try to summon the spirit of restoration."
The girl's hoarse voice came from afar. By the looks of it, the stun debuff was also enjoying the opportunity of spending some quality time with this player.
"How long has it been?"
I croaked, surprised at my own voice. My senses were telling me that I'd spent 2 days walking under a burning sun, got completely desiccated, and then finished off my vocal cords by singing a few songs. My throat felt as rough as sandpaper. That must have been the dumbness debuff. All these debuffs were really a bit much. They'd camped out in a neat row of 23 nice icons before my eyes, varying in duration from 10 minutes to 2 days. And that was after Ants in the Pansa managed to take some off me.
"About 10 minutes. I'll tell you again. Summon the restoration spirit. You may even try one of a different rank to you, as long as you summon it."
"But I didn't learn."
"So what? Do you really think a shaman needs to be taught in order to communicate with spirits? Are you not the master of a dragon? Now!"
The girl's outburst was so sudden that I even managed to sit up. Why is she so sure that a shaman can communicate with any spirits, even without proper training? This goes against game logic.
where you have to learn first and only then use a skill you've learned. I was about to let the lady shaman know what I thought of her words, but then recalled a certain episode from my life in Beatwick. My teacher's order, "Run, you